This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Adeline Chung, and you're listening to Selfhour, where we stay on the pulse with what's brewing in the fashion industry. This week, we sit down with Dubai-based designer Nada Soliman of fashion brand Mood the Label.
We all know that sometimes you do give up comfort for fashion, but I don't feel that my shorts do, because you actually can move in them, and you can sit in them, and you can dance in them. It's not a stiff material.
After that, Florence Song, stylist at Zalora, gives us an insight behind the rise of an 1800s trend, worker jackets.
You know, you don't really want to wear your leather jacket because it's too heavy or too hot, and you know, your denim jacket's a bit too casual. So the worker jacket is kind of that in-between where it looks pulled together enough for the office, and yet it feels casual enough and lightweight.
But first up, our fashion headlines of the week. The Academy Awards, also known as the Oscars, is a time where the best films are acknowledged, but it's also a time where celebrities use this opportunity to glam up and strut the red carpet to compete for the coveted title of Best Dressed. At the recent Oscars this year, poofy pink gowns seem to be a common theme, where shades of pink dominated the red carpet in all sorts of iterations. From the pink ruffle dress of Linda Cardellini to the show-stopping bubblegum pink gown of Angela Bassett, and even Gemma Chan's parachute Valentino dress that came with pockets, allowing her to sneak in a big cookie in her dress pockets. Now the pink color seemed to extend to the men as well, with Aquaman star Jason Momoa rocking a pink velvet suit. Film director Spike Lee gave a tribute to Prince in his all-purple suit, coupled with a custom diamond necklace with Prince's symbol, along with gold Jordans. But most would agree that Billy Porter stole the show, making a name for himself by paving the way for extravagant show-stopping award show outfits. This time, he rocked a tuxedo gown with a massive velvet hoop skirt. And moving on to our next story for this week, we're talking about the Levi's IPO. History was made in the year 1873 when Levi Strauss and tailor Jacob Davis patented the use of copper rivets to reinforce pocket stress points, thus ushering in the era of blue jeans. Although initially worn by miners in the 80s, it soon became the uniform for cowboys, lumberjacks, rebels at heart, celebrities, and eventually just about everyone. The heritage brand is also credited for the creation of the classic five-pocket design jeans that we know of today. And now, after hitting a sales record of $2.58 billion in revenue for 2018, a sales record for the company in two decades, Levi's has filed for an IPO targeting the first quarter of 2019 for the offering. This comes at a time where denim companies are struggling to compete with activewear, a segment that has continually outpaced the rest of the apparel market. The company previously went public in the year 1971 with one of the biggest IPOs at the time, bringing in close to $50 million. But as time went by, profits fell and descendants of the Levi Strauss family decided to make the company private again. Levi's recently introduced a few changes to their manufacturing by introducing lasers to their production line instead of using manual labor to achieve specific realistic fades. By replacing manual labor with lasers, Levi's will be able to produce a pair of jeans every 90 seconds instead of 2 to 3 pairs an hour, which will help the company increase its efficiency and response to local markets. This new technique is part of the company's end goal of being more environmentally friendly by replacing the old process of finishing jeans that's chemical heavy, water intensive, and requires a whole lot of manual hand sanding. That wraps up this week's fashion headlines, and now it's time for our style maker of the week, Nada Soliman of evening wear shorts brand Mood the Label. Having lived in different countries throughout her life, Dubai-based designer Nada Soliman is the founder of fashion brand Mood the Label. Wanting to fill the gap in the market for evening wear shorts, Mood the Label is a contemporary brand compromising solely of luxurious evening shorts. Drawing inspiration from her night parties by the beach, The Midnight Collection showcases avant-garde shorts with splashes of gold, black, and silver. Using elaborate textures such as asymmetrical cuts, ruffles, and ruches, Nada's unconventionally sophisticated line of shorts can be dressed up or down depending on your personal style. Now, first things first, I want to know, when did you start wearing shorts?
At a very young age. Honestly, I think my earliest memory of it was when I lived back in Canada, probably when I was in grade 7. And actually, me and my friends did a whole campaign saying we wear short shorts because the school was not, it was a public school and we didn't have a uniform, but they wanted to try to control what we would wear, but we kind of did not agree with them and we kind of rebelled and we won the battle.
And before you started Nude the Label, you worked with a friend to sell bachelorette and, wedding accessories for an online store called The Knot. So how did this inspire you to start your own label? And, why did you make the switch?
Well, at that point, I was living in Egypt. This was more than 10 years ago when we started. And the thing is, we did not have wedding and bachelorette accessories. We'd always have to travel abroad, and even ordering online in Egypt at that time was not accessible. So I started playing around with the idea of making stuff for my friends when they were getting married. And from there, me and my best friend decided to start a company selling accessories. But we wanted to make it more of a couture, a high-end kind of style, in the sense of that you actually go and meet the bride and discuss with her what her dress is like, what her ideas are. It wasn't just an online shop. It was actually a meet and talk and discuss. And it had a certain creative process, in the sense of that we'd actually have to source out materials, find things, travel around. Even when I was traveling just randomly, I'd actually go to fabric stores or little stores to find beads and stuff to make these accessories. And I loved it. And it was a very successful business. But the thing is, after 10 years of doing it, it kind of got repetitive, in the sense of that I wanted to expand my creativity into something else. So from there, I decided to study fashion, which I always loved and I always played around with. But actually to study it got me to start my label.
I understand that you grew up in a very conservative country like Egypt, where are generally very averse to women's fashion, especially more revealing clothing.
No, I've kind of moved around all my life. I was born in Egypt, but I was brought up in Saudi Arabia, Jeddah, till I was 12. Then I moved to Canada, and from Canada, I moved back to Egypt, and from Egypt, I went back to Canada for a bit, and then I came to Dubai. So I've moved around quite a lot.
Wow, that's quite a number of places that you're moving around and to this age. That's quite a lot.
It is, honestly. But it's a nice experience because it made me experience different cultures and see different things. Even living in Saudi Arabia, it's a very conservative country and all that. But at the end of the day, you live in compounds, so you actually dress the way that you want to in the community that you live in. So it wasn't a huge transition moving to Canada, because I was used to wearing shorts, going to the beach, sitting on the pool, doing all that stuff. So it wasn't as much as there's a stereotype that some cities are very closed off. They actually have their own little communities that actually are so much like the Western world.
And what about in Dubai? I mean, you're currently in Dubai now, right? And, are you able to wear shorts out?
Yeah. Dubai is very, it's such a mix. And that's what I love about it. That you could actually go to a restaurant and find someone that is sitting veiled, or someone that is wearing the actual local attire. And the table next to it, someone wearing hot shorts or a tiny skirt or a dress. And at the same time, you'll find someone that is dressed in their traditional clothing from whatever city. For example, India, it's just such a mix.
How did you know that, you know, there was a demand for shorts in these countries?
I'll have to say I didn't find it as a demand for people as much as that's what I craved and that's what I liked. So my idea is that in every store you will find shorts, but finding a pair of shorts that you can dress up and dress down is not as easy as finding casual shorts. Like, the everyday shorts are accessible, but shorts that you can actually put on a pair of sneakers with or put on heels and dress it up, you'll find one in every collection, but you won't find, like, a variety of.
Now, let's talk about your label. First of all, I mean, what does Nude the Label mean, you know?
Okay, it has two meanings. First, because my name is Neda, some people call me Nude just as a nickname. That's one thing. The other thing is, my idea of it is that we are all a blank canvas. And what you wear is like the splashes of paint that you add to yourself. Just like I want women to feel comfortable and to actually highlight themselves. That was my concept, that I wanted something that highlights us or adds to our closet or shows your personality or your attitude. Like, if you look at my collection, it's very symmetrical to asymmetrical. Because some people like the extravaganza and some other people like more straight lines. So I wanted to create something that actually highlights or adds to everyone's closet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's quite rare for designers to actually create a whole brand solely dedicated to just one fashion item. But your brand is dedicated exclusively to shorts. So why did you decide to go this route?
Because for me, shorts are one of my go-to in the closet. It's something that I always prefer to wear. I know not everyone does, but it's something that actually, to me, it's more, like, I believe it's more flattering than a skirt, than a dress, than anything else. It's just something that is very unique and can be played around with. It can go casual. It can go nighty. You can wear it with a blazer. You can wear it with sneakers. I just wanted something different. I didn't want to actually create a fashion line that's just a fashion line. I will expand in the future, but even when I expand, I'm aiming to expand with a twist on shorts.
I went through the photos of your designs, your shorts. They're beautiful. I mean, but you mentioned that, you know, you've received feedback from your customers saying that the length of your shorts were kind of too short.
But
you personally
I did.
Like the shorter shorts, you know. So how did you overcome this hurdle?
Well, for starters, with my new collection, I'm putting that into consideration 100%. Because honestly, I do agree that you can always shorten something, but you can't make something longer. So it was an obstacle, but to me, it was kind of a learning experience because this is my first collection. So it sold pretty well and I did good. But I learned from my customers' feedback that not everyone wants to wear something that short. So it kind of gave me an idea for the future to put that into consideration, try to design my designs in a way that would fit everyone's criteria, not just mine.
I've been speaking to Neda Soliman of Dubai-based clothing line Nude the Label. Right after this, we'll be sharing tips on how to style Nada's shorts, whether it's for casual coffee or a dreamy dinner date. Stay tuned, you're listening to Style File on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Style File. I've been speaking to Dubai-based designer Neda Soliman of Nude the Label about the luxurious materials and elaborate cuts she uses to create her avant-garde shorts. Now, the first collection is called the Midnight Collection, where you use a lot of gold, white, as well as black. Now, tell us more about the inspiration behind this collection.
I wanted to create a collection that is very nightwear-based. I live in Dubai. A lot of our outings are very, there's a lot of, like, outings at night. And also, in the summer, I go to Egypt, and I go to the North Coast, and it's all night outings, beach clubs, restaurants, and stuff like that. So I wanted to create a collection that fits with that theme. And to me, black and white are a staple in every girl's closet. They're colors that just, it's so easy to dress them up, dress them down, wear them consistently and not even, and get away with it. So I wanted to create a collection that fits with that theme.
Now let's start off with your all fringed up shorts. They remind me almost of fun cheerleader kind of shorts. Tell me more about it.
Yes, you do. Well, I wanted to make something that had more straight lines. I'm very into ruffles and like ruche ruche and all that. But I wanted to create something also for the girl that wants straight lines. And to me, they're feminine yet sexy. And at the same time, they're very modern. So I wanted to do a twist. They do have a sense of a cheerleader. But at the same time, with the colors make them more of a classic more than something that is cheery.
I think one thing that really stuck out in your designs is that some of your shorts, you know, I mean, don't look like conventional kind of shorts. Some of them are round and are even, you know, designed to look like wearable with large flowers. So why did you decide to make them this way? You know, is there like a deeper meaning to it?
No, I wanted to create something that it has an avant-garde feel because the basic stuff is always available, but sometimes you just want to wear something that stands out. And that's how I dress myself, that I could wear a basic T-shirt, but I'll wear a pair of shorts that are filled with sequences or that have a huge flower in the middle. I just wanted something that actually has this avant-garde feel.
Mm-hmm. And what about your flower power kind of shorts? I mean, your flower power shorts by itself, you know, makes a bold statement. So how would you style it so that, you know, the whole entire outfit isn't too overpowering?
Well, I can give a few ideas. One of them is, which I actually wore, is the white ones with the big flower in the middle, the flower power. I wore it with just a basic pink top and sneakers. And I went to a beach party. And then another time I wore the black ones with the more of like a patterny goldy material with a black top and a blazer and heels. So you can play around with it. As much as my materials sometimes seem a little bit more on the going out nightwear, you can also dress it down and just wear it very casually. Mm-hmm. If you slip on a pair of sneakers and a basic top.
One of your biggest selling points of shorts is that, you know, it's how comfortable they are, you know. But your Rouge Me Right designs look bigger, heavier, and, you know, more avant-garde kind of feel. So is it still as comfortable as shorts usually are? Or, you know, do you think sacrificing comfort would make a fashion statement in you know, is a trade-off worth making?
Honestly, the materials that I use are very soft and comfy in the sense of that when you're sitting down, they actually do sit with you. It's not like they're stiff and standing. This is like raw silk, so it actually moves with you. But it does have the whole effect of like exaggeration. But at the same time, it's more of a statement, but not, you're not giving up comfort. Like, we all know that sometimes you do give up comfort for fashion, but I don't feel that my shorts do because you actually can move in them and you can sit in them, and you can dance in them, and you can, they're not, it's not a stiff material. There's no wires, there's nothing that's making them stand. It's just the material standing softly, so it moves around with you.
Now let's talk about the patterns of your shorts. You know, I see you use very unique looking patterns. For example, your Rouge Me Right shorts have this kind of eccentric mix of Saido snakeskin mixed with metallic gold. Where do you derive your inspiration for these one-of-a-kind patterns?
Well, my creative process is different than a lot of people. For me, I actually start with the designs and then go out and look around at materials. I go to material stores. I just like dive in there and try to find what inspires me. I do have like a mood board that tells me the colors that I want, but the material is usually based on what I see and what I find, because coming up with an idea of the material that you're going to use before going to the stores and looking around is impossible, because you can't always find what you want. I could dream of the perfect pattern or the perfect print, but when you walk into the store, sometimes materials do draw your attention and grab you, and that's what usually happens for me.
Where do you source all your fabrics for your shorts?
For the last capsule collection and for the coming one, it's all Dubai sourced, UAE.
What kind of fabrics do you like to play with most?
Honestly, I like a lot of fabrics, but for my first capsule collection, Midnight, I use more of raw silk, PC denim, and Borkette. These were the materials that worked with the idea that I wanted. I wanted a little bit of stiffness that's not too stiff. I wanted comfy shorts that are worn. But for my future collection, I'm actually playing around with taffeta, chiffon, tulle, and cottons. It's more of a mix and match in my next collection. But for my first collection, I stuck to just three kinds of fabrics.
So will you solely focus on shorts in the future? Or, you know, would you also like to try and venture out into other clothing that can complement your shorts?
For my next collection, I'm focusing on shorts-based, but I'm actually going to include sets, play suits, or jumpsuits, and shorts. But at the moment, there's always going to be the twist of shorts.
I understand that your brand is a fairly new brand. So what are your plans for Nude the Label?
Well, my dream and inspiration is that it's sold everywhere in the world eventually. But my plan is to just grow it one step at a time. It's still very new, and it is a learning process, because having your own business and trying to be on top of it is not as easy as we all dream it is. But for me, it's a step-by-step process. So at the moment, selling in Dubai and having sold in Egypt is amazing, but I hope eventually to sell in many more places.
That was Dubai-based designer Nada Soliman of Nude the Label giving us an insight behind her international success and future aspirations for her brand. Coming up next, Florence Song stylist Ed Zalora drops some knowledge on the worker jacket. But before that, here's Ravina with a song called Temptation. This is Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 is Adeline Chung on Stylefile, and it's time for this week's Style Shrink. Florence Song stylist Ed Zalora shares some tips and tricks on styling worker or chore jackets. Now, heavily inspired by the indigo dyed classic corps jackets worn by the French working class of the 1800s. They call it Bleu de Travail, translate to working blues, right? So give us a quick breakdown on this particular trend.
So the worker jacket was somehow introduced to the fashion set rather unintentionally by the photographer Bill Cunningham, who was constantly spotted with his signature blue chore jacket. The worker jacket, or some people call it the blue chore jacket. You know, we have the workwear pants or the carpenter pants that's currently a huge fashion staple, you know, a trend that we've even covered on this show before. And with the utility trend being on such a steady rise, it's only natural that the top version of this pants is, you know, making it big as well. And that's how we have the Choir jacket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's great about this jacket is it's so comfortable, it's so durable, and now it's even fashionable. And it's often made in a really transitional material that's lightweight enough for hot climates, but will also help to shield you from the cold of the air cons in the cold office.
Wow. Yeah. So what are the best runways you've seen?
If you're talking about Choir jackets, hands down, it has to be Fendi's Spring-Summer 19 runway. So if you look at the show, you will see that there's so many incarnations. There's like the see-through vinyl versions, there's like buttery leather ones, both long and cropped versions. And then all these jackets, they sport pockets upon pockets, you know, exaggerated pockets. And some are even pulled together with matching toolkit-style belts and cargo pants. And some of it were even monogrammed with, you know, the signature Fendi logo.
Mm-hmm. So how would you style it?
I really like wearing it, you know, as a piece for layering. So you can layer it over a basic t-shirt or a plain turtleneck paired with jeans. Or I really like styling it over a floral dress for contrast as well. So a floral dress is really feminine. And then you have, you know, the worker jacket that's a bit more utilitarian, a bit more edgy on top.
But this seems to be like a streetwear, I would say. Would you say so?
I would say that it could be a streetwear trend, but you can also, you know, move it more towards the sophisticated end. You can wear it as a workwear piece. Like how Fendi did it, they paired it, just go for a material that's a bit, you know, more sturdy, like leather, you know, buttery soft leather or corduroy, and you can pair it with like a really feminine midi skirt and heels, and you can even wear it to the office.
So what's a more durable kind of color that, you know, people can buy?
In terms of color, you can't really go wrong with neutrals or, you know, like a classic heritage inspired blue shade, but don't be afraid to opt for shoutier colors or more seasonal colors like, you know, coral or, you know, like a mint green kind of color.
But isn't it difficult to style with this kind of colors?
I think you can always use it as a statement piece and then, you know, use more monotones or neutral colors underneath as the base as well.
So would you invest in worker jackets?
I would. I mean, I really love it. It's the perfect in-between kind of piece for, you know, days where you feel like you need an outer layer, but you're kind of like, you know, you don't really want to wear your leather jacket because it's too heavy or too hot, and, you know, your denim jacket's a bit too casual. So, you know, the worker jacket is kind of that in-between where it looks pulled together enough for the office, and yet it feels casual enough and lightweight enough to wear.
That's all the time we have for you this episode. If you'd like to listen to us on the go, you can revisit this episode on our podcast by downloading it on our website, bfm.my, or on our free app on Google Play or the App Store. Now, before I go, I'll be leaving you with a tune from the ASAP Mob with a song inspired by Raph Simmons called Raph. This has been Stylefile, and I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
I done came up, busting down the whole bag. Broke, step back. Want your people swag. Ain't even gotta ask. What are those? What is that? Please don't touch my wrath. Please don't touch my wrath. I'm racked up like rappers. I'm wrapped up on camera. Get knocked out on camera. Squeeze pump like asthma. It's rare wrath when I wear wrath. Bear wrath when I wear wrath. Might invest into some rap shit. Lord, still shit wrath. And I'm dripping on rags. Rip gon' be the tag. Do the digital dash. Yeah, I'm boasting, never brag. Please don't touch my rap. Or the Chris Van Nash. Alessandra Gucci glasses. W Anderson collab. Yeah, she pop it like a Mac. Yeah, she drop it on the bag. I'ma buy another bag. Cause she always bring it back. Yeah, you know how to make it last. Plus, and plus, keeping tabs. I'ma fly first class. Wave will hit him with the dab.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.